You are listening to Stillman and Company live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I am Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman today. Broke down a little bit of Titans training camp. Joe Rexroad joined the show to give his thoughts, his takeaways from Titans training camp today. And we'll dive a little bit deeper of exactly what Mike Vrabel saw from his team today. Derrick Henry spoke with the media, so we will get into all of that. I'll get into some of my takeaways from Titans training camp today. So first and foremost, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, Mark, but haven't been incredibly blown away by the rookies so far, and that didn't really change today. I think one thing that I saw from Caleb Farley today, he got disciplined from Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel said, hey, get off the field. If you aren't going to complete your assignment, then you have no place here. Here is what Mike Vrabel had to say about Caleb Farley in practice today.
You had a little bit of a coaching moment with Caleb Farley in 11s today. Just what have you kind of seen from him generally in his first 2 days of team stuff?
I mean, he's just got a lot of work to do, and, you know, he's whatever, made a mistake or didn't do something great and kind of stood there or laid on the ground, and I just said that's not how we're going to do it. You know, I mean, there's going to be a lot of mistakes that happen through the course of the game. You know, but we're going to go finish, and we're going to find somebody to cover or find somebody to tackle or finish the play.
I believe it's the great Butch Jones that used to say snap and clear.
Butch Jones, everyone's favorite used car salesman.
Well, yeah, you gotta turn the page. And Caleb Farley can talk about being a perfectionist and this and that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he learned something today. You got to be a pro. And if you make a mistake, you just move on.
And Mike Vrabel mentions, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. No doubt. Of course he has a lot of work to do. I think all of these rookies, and even not just rookies, everyone on this team, I think, has a lot of work to do. But I also wonder, are we going to see a good bit of Caleb Farley in the preseason? I can understand.
No!
But I can understand Vrabel wanting him to get out there and get a little bit more experience, but also you're dealing with injuries.
They're not going to rush him. You might see him maybe the third preseason game, mm-hmm. but I don't guess. I mean, Farley's still behind. I mean, you know, he's just starting to participate in team drills. You're not going to see him this week. I don't think you're going to see him next week. You might see him the third week of the preseason. That's just a guess. But they're in no rush. I mean, the big thing about Vrabel is load management,
mm-hmm.
and that is – you know, pace your players. This is no longer Vince Lombardi's, you know, three-a-days where you're absolutely trying to grind your team down and then build them back up. It's a much different deal. The NFL season is way too long to do that, and that's why you don't see two-a-days anymore.
Another rookie out there today that I wasn't totally thrilled by is Dylan Radin. So Dylan Radin's got beat several times in 7-on-7. Derek Roberson gave him a little spin move there, broke his ankles a little bit, I think kind of threw him off guard. Dylan Radin's, when I see him out there in practice, looks confused. He looks like he definitely has some work to do. And Tyson Brailo, when he was asked about Dylan Radin's today, he said, hey, you know, he's a rookie. He's making rookie mistakes, and asked even further about, okay, exactly what does that mean? Exactly what does being quote-unquote a rookie mean? And Tyson Brailo said, hey, he's a rookie, and he's doing rookie stuff, and that's all that I'll say about it. So I'm not willing to write home about Dylan Radin's and say it was a bad pick and saying, you know, that he's not going to contribute to this team. It's way too early on to be able to say that, but it definitely looks like Mike Vrabel mentioned with Caleb Farley needing to do a lot of work. It seems like Dylan Radin's has some work to do as well.
Well, and you said it. He hasn't played a whole lot of football the last 2 years.
Right.
So.
And to go from an FCS team who hardly played during the COVID season, if at all, coming into an NFL training camp.
North Dakota State played one game last year.
Yeah.
During the fall. So he's going to make his mistakes. I mean, it wasn't going to be an easy transition. But again, this is a 3-year process that they're just beginning on. So I'm not surprised that he's struggling. And that will probably be the case for much of this year.
Another guy on offense who we will be monitoring as well is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was out there with pads on, wasn't going too hard on the field, wasn't necessarily running plays, but he was standing there and calling some plays, called himself Coach Henry. Here is what Mike Vrabel had to say about Derrick Henry's workload and managing it to make sure that he is good to go for the season. We'll get that in just a second, but Derrick Henry just talking about, you know, making sure that he can make any sort of impact that he can on the field, making an impact not necessarily as a running back, but also running plays, calling plays, being kind of a figurehead on this offense as well, being more of a leader.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. They're letting him work on the side, in the sand pit, and on the bike. You're not going to see him in the preseason. You're just not.
No.
And again, load management and just being smart. There's nothing Derrick Henry accomplishes by playing in the preseason, so he's not.
A few more guys on the offensive line who did look good. Taylor Lewan back out there on the field after rehabbing an ACL tear. Ty Sambrylo also out there on the field, who's listed as one of two possible number one right tackles for the Titans in their depth chart so far. Ty Sambrylo saying his knees are fine, it's more of his foot. That's the issue, but Mike Vrabel spoke about Taylor Lewan and Ty Sambrylo being out at practice today.
How good a step was it to get Taylor and Ty back into team drills today?
Well, you know, that return to play, and those are good things. They've been out there, they've been working hard, and we need bodies there. Obviously, we need good bodies and good players, and so hopefully they'll respond favorably to that work. We'll see how they feel and then see where they're at in the morning and whether we add on, kind of like we have done with Farley at Caleb's gotten, you know, some more work as he's been out there, and, you know, some other guys that are in that category as well.
Right. So that was, again, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Taylor Lewan and Ty Sambrylo being out back at practice today. Offensive line, I think, has a lot of questions surrounding it. You know, you've got a decent amount of guys. Just exactly who you're going to plug into those positions, I think, are the biggest question marks right now for the Titans offensive line.
Well, the Titans loaded up on offensive linemen because they knew, you know, once again, that they wanted to, you know, pace themselves, that Lewan and some of the other starters were not going to be out there every day. You know, again, they want to make sure that they're going to be fresh and ready not only for the preseason but for the regular season. Sambrylo is a guy who's competing for the starting right tackle spot with Lamb, and we'll see how that goes.
I think that'll be a competition that unravels as we get closer into the season, but I think it could be an ongoing competition throughout the season as well. I don't think that anyone, you know, barring a Ryan Tannehill or a Derrick Henry or any of your superstars on offense, I don't think that there's any spot right now that is totally secure or will be secure once we start the season.
Run that by me again.
I said I don't think that, you know, I think that right tackle could continue to be a competitive position moving into the season.
Yeah, that's going to be one position that's definitely going to be open for competition. But, you know, obviously, you know, we know what the rest of the line is going to look like if everybody's healthy, rather.
Yeah, absolutely. And defense also looked pretty solid in 7-on-7 today. We saw Trevon Coley tip up a Tannehill pass. Chris Jackson picked it off. Saw a good bit of interceptions, which is good for the defense. Didn't love that so much for the quarterback room, but the defense definitely seemed like they won in 7-on-7 today.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Titans' D-line, and I think that bodes well for what the pass rush is going to be. I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to have a huge year. I think T.R. Tart, you know, helps them. Danico Autry, you know, coming in, you know, his versatility and his motor, I think, really helps that room. So I think the D-line is going to be a big area of improvement for the Titans, and I think that helps the pass rush. That's going to up their sack level, I think, exponentially.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into Titans training camp, look into a little bit of the injury developments that we saw. We mentioned Taylor Lewan and Ty Sambrylo. Bud Dupree was also out there today. So we'll get into a little bit more of that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your Titans calls, text, questions in. We are here to answer anything that you want to know about the Titans training camp today leading up into the preseason. So coming up next, we'll get into more of Titans training camp. But before we do that, be caller 5 now to win a 4-pack of tickets to PBR's Professional Bull Riders Ariat Music City Knockout at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, August 22nd, and qualified for an elite seat upgrade, which includes a pair of tickets closest to the chutes, early check-in, and meet and greet with PBR talent. Again, be caller 5 now to win your tickets to the Professional Bull Riders Ariat Music City Knockout. You are listening to Stillman & Company live on 102.5 The Game.
Your approach with Derek Science, and how much does it feel? Like, will there be a day you just walk in here, look at him, and say, you know what, we're gonna ramp it up today?
Probably not. I mean, we try to communicate that, you know, before. I mean, but there's a plan. I mean, there's a lot of science, and there's things, you know, he'll have to get some work as we go through here closer to the season. And he does get a little bit, you know, I mean, in a controlled drill, half line drill with some run and some pass that, you know, less bodies and, you know, pretty basic look, right? So that we can just get him a little bit of tracks or, you know, a little bit of speed. So, you know, we'll just continue with the plan and always try to communicate with the players.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel this morning at training camp talking about Derrick Henry's development in the preseason. You know, listening to what the doctors are saying about how Derrick Henry feels? Is it more off of just the way that Derrick Henry feels about how much he is participating in camp? And Mike Vrabel says, hey, it's a little bit of both. He knows exactly what he needs to do to get out there. Caroline Fenton joined by Mark Howard filling in for Jared Stillman. Mark, you have any thoughts on Mike Vrabel's approach with Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I just think that they feel like they're going to have him participate as little as possible in game situations, you know, even, you know, when they're scrimmaging, you're not going to see him very much. He knows the amount of hits that he's taken over, especially over the past couple of years. I don't know if 2,000 yards is realistic when you add a Julio Jones. I mean, you want to throw the ball more. You want to be maybe a little more balanced. But whatever the case, you know, Derrick Henry now is sort of heading into, you know, uncertain territory. You know, is this the year where we see a little bit of regression? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but he's been sort of a freak of nature. He keeps himself in incredible shape, but the thing about sports, the thing about football, you lose that half step, it makes a huge difference. So, you know, we'll be on the lookout this year.
And Derrick Henry mentioned that he wants to continue to make a big impact on this team, but trying to do that with limited reps, you know, it could bring up some sort of some difficulties in the preseason when you're taking limited reps. This is what Derrick Henry had to say on continuing to make an impact even when he's not going 100% in the preseason.
Derrick, a week into camp, and it seems like you're kind of like on a little bit of a management program. How are you just getting those reps and just making ways to improve each day?
Yeah, just working hard as much as I can when I'm out there. And then when I'm not practicing, just taking mental reps. And then when I'm conditioning with a strength and conditioning coach, just working hard to keep my body in shape. And like I said, when I get done with that, just coming back in, watching from the sideline, helping the guys, trying to do the best that I can to, you know, help them with their reps and also taking mental reps as well.
You know, it's not like he's eating a pizza on the sideline. You know, he's doing different things, but, you know, he's they're all non-contact. You know, that's the whole point.
Exactly, and especially when you're dealing with a running back position and Derrick Henry getting to his term in the NFL, an age that, you know, we've seen a lot of running backs in the past start to regress at this age, like you mentioned that earlier. Of course, Derrick Henry could be the one outlier, being as if he is like a physical freak out on the field, but making sure that they're maintaining a level that's manageable, especially when this offense still is going to rely on him pretty heavily. And Derrick Henry is one of those people that you see a little bit of Nick Saban in him, and I think it's just his personality that football is everything to Derrick Henry, and there's not going to be anything that gets in the way of him and his progress. So when he says he's taking mental reps, when he says he's working hard in the gym, I mean, I believe it. I fully believe it.
Well, the thing that Titans fans should appreciate about Derrick Henry is that there's not an ounce of diva in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a guy who could theoretically hold out. This is a guy who theoretically could complain about his contract, that he got paid like a two-down back and not a three-down back, and that despite the fact of the numbers that he's put up, he feels like maybe he should make more. I mean, be hard for me to argue against him, but he seems to be okay with it. And again, you know, he's been a team guy, just not an ounce of selfishness in him, and that's why so many people around the league root for him.
Absolutely, and I think that it can be so easy to get caught up in your own stats, especially with Derrick Henry coming off of a 2,000-plus yard season. And he was asked about that today. Do you think that that's something that you can repeat? Can you do back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons? And you mentioned adding a Julio Jones. You almost hope that he doesn't have to run for 2,000 yards. But this is what Derrick Henry had to say today at training camp about a potential back-to-back 2,000-plus yard season.
Some talk out there from national people, local people, whatever, that you could be the guy to break 2,000 in consecutive years and all that. Do you embrace that kind of expectation? I mean, is that something in your head you're saying, I want to go for that this year? I think I can, or how do you approach that?
Just talk. Got to put the work in, and that's what I try to focus on every day. You know, everybody talks, but I'm just focused on me getting better and working hard as much as I can.
You know, last 2 years, you know, you look at his numbers, 303 carries for 1,540 yards, and then last year, 378 attempts for 2,027.
That's insane.
You know, you look, and that's a recipe, you know, for a running back to be on the decline in a year or two. So, you know, we'll see if he can beat the profile. But that's one of the reasons why the Titans signed him to the deal that they did.
And also why it's so important to maintain him in the preseason as well. And that's, I have no issue whatsoever with Derrick Henry not participating 100% in the preseason. But we'll go to your phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a Titans thought or question. And Clay texts into the text line and says, any news on Julio Jones? So we did see Julio Jones out there today on the stationary bike. He wasn't on the field, but he was on the stationary bike. And we had another text in. I'll pull it up in just 1 second. Sonny texts into the text line and says, I lived in Atlanta for a few years. Julio hardly ever practiced there. I'm not worried about Julio. He probably isn't going to practice a whole lot this year.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't necessarily expect him to practice a whole lot this year. It just does concern me. I mean, I understand him not practicing in Atlanta, but practicing in a new scheme with a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, it does cause a bit of concern for me. Neely texts into the text line as well and says, Derrick Henry is definitely not a diva. Last year, I was flying back from Las Vegas on Southwest, and Derrick Henry sat next to me, and he was in a B boarding group. So pretty slow to check into his flights there on Southwest, but Derrick Henry, definitely not a diva and definitely a team player, as we know, and especially as we've heard from a lot from him during the preseason, taking on more of a coaching role, more of a mentor role to some of these young guys in training camp. But Julio and Derrick Henry, two guys that we will not see in the preseason. We'll see some of these younger guys, some of these first-year guys, maybe some rookies. But here is what Mike Vrabel had to say on how there might be some hurdles to jump through as they transition into a 3 instead of 4 preseason game schedule.
Different this year with 3 games as opposed to 4 in years past?
I mean, I think every year is just so unique as it relates to the injuries and the numbers of guys that we have and who will have to play, you know, based on, you know, other players' availability and, you know, how guys are performing and how many reps they get in practice. You know, there's a lot of guys that are logging a lot of reps that may have to play a lot in the game, and then some of those guys that are getting a lot of reps may not play as much in the game. So I think every game and each week in a preseason is unique. You know, we want to come out and be the most prepared that we can be, but also very conscious of the health of the football team and, you know, and all those opportunities that we get to improve, you know, as it relates to some young guys or some guys that are new to our program.
And in a lot of cases, Caroline, how you practice has to do with how many snaps, especially if you're a back of the roster guy or somebody who's probably not going to make the team. But how you practice has a lot to do with how many reps, snaps you might get to play in the preseason game, which is sort of serves as a resume tape for for a lot of these guys. I mean, everybody's getting evaluated by teams around the league. You know, Titans are evaluating all the other teams for possible cuts and players that are going to come free. It is just the nature of the beast. But, you know, this week for the first preseason game, it's going to be interesting facing Arthur Smith, even though it is a preseason game. But, you know, this is about the time of the week where the coach starts asking the other coaches, for the position coaches, for lists on which players they think should play on Friday. You know, we'll see that. And oftentimes the third and fourth quarter of preseason games are snoozers, but there are a lot of times where careers are made or broken because of what happens. So always fun to watch.
It is fun to watch because you don't see the sexy names out there. You're not going to see Derrick Henry burst off for a 50-yard run. It's not the same level of football that you're used to seeing in the NFL season. You watch it differently.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Falcons, that first preseason game against Arthur Smith's team. And I think also that following week, the week of practice against Tampa Bay, I think is going to be huge for the development of some of these younger guys. You know, they're going to be playing against the Bucs B, C, D squad in that preseason game next Friday. The Titans play the Falcons this Friday and the Bucs next Saturday. But I think that practice in Tampa Bay is going to be huge for the development of these young guys. But we mentioned Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, some of their lighter preseason. We also saw Bud Dupree out there today, in addition to Taylor Lewan and Tyson Brailo, three guys who have been battling some injuries. Bud Dupree coming off of an ACL tear. He looked pretty good today. He left the field after the first team period, ran short sprints with the elastic resistance bands. So looking healthy, looking good. Bud Dupree at least out there on the practice field today. So good to see that from him.
Yeah, just beginning the process of getting immersed, not only in practice, but in games. And, you know, his eye isn't on the preseason.
It's week one. He's one of those guys that you're not necessarily going to see in the preseason, just rehabbing that knee and getting back to 100% to be ready for week one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your Titans calls, your Titans texts, anything that you want to know aside from who lined up at what position from practice today, anything that you want to know about the Titans preseason training camp. We are here with all of your Titans answers. But coming up next, there is a guy who is beloved in the state of Tennessee who was honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame last night. We will get into a little bit of Peyton Manning coming up next. But before we do that, allow me to let you know that Nashville SC fans, you can join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Tonight's guest is Alistair Johnston. Watch the show online via 1025 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. You are listening to Stillman & Company, and we are live on ESPN 1025 The Game.
I never expected to stand on this stage tonight. If it weren't for those busts and the memories of forever loyal fans, tonight's details would blur and cheers would fade. However, our hearts will cradle the memories forever. Throughout our lives as players, coaches, staffs, and fans, we've become essential to the sports landscape. I don't know about you, but I'm not done with this game. I never will be. I'm committed to ensuring its future, and I hope you will join me in that commitment.
That was Peyton Manning, who was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last night. Of course, a legendary Tennessee quarterback, winning Super Bowls in both Indianapolis and Denver. So his speech last night was, first of all, heart-wrenching, touching, inspiring, funny, everything kind of that Peyton Manning is. Just an overall really great guy, good football player, of course. Just overall a really great guy, of course, showing some gratitude to Tom Brady, guys that he had played with in the past, coaches of the past. But one common thread that I really took away from Peyton Manning's speech last night in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Caroline Fenton joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman and Stillman Company today. But the one thing I took away from Peyton Manning's speech last night was he was very focused on the future, maintaining the integrity of the game and setting the game up for the future.
His speech was essentially a love letter to football. And the thing about Peyton, when it comes to football, I think those of us who have covered it, watched it, love it, feel like he gets it. He just totally gets it. You know, what are the great things about the game? And, you know, he lets us in a little bit about being in a team sport, you know, just the relationships that you have with players and coaches, and just describing his journey, you know, which obviously, you know, this part of the country was a big part of. You know, I covered Peyton through his years at Tennessee, went up there every Tuesday and occasionally on Saturday. And, you know, he was, you know, almost from the beginning, he was really polished. And, you know, you saw his parents, Archie and Olivia. I thought it was cool that Archie, you know, introduced him. That was really important for him. And just, you know, we saw what his family means to him. We saw what his years in the league meant to him. He got everything he possibly could squeeze out of his career all the way to the end. And he had a fabulous career. Unfortunately, he was not blessed on teams that had good defenses, especially in Indianapolis. And I'm sure he's looking at Tom Brady with his 7 rings, you know, and saying, you know, if I had a good defense, I would have beaten you. But just really cool, you know, to see, you know, Peyton's speech was a lot like Peyton the player. He was prepared. He hit all the right notes. You know, he can be funny. He can be poignant. He can be heartfelt. And I hope he's a part of the future of the game. I hope Peyton's commissioner. I mean, I hope that Peyton gets to make decisions on the direction of the game, because I feel like the game will be in good hands if he's the guy. And to see Philip Fulmer there, and I know that it was really important for Peyton, of course, to include Philip as part of it. David Cutcliffe, of course, not only his position coach at Tennessee, but kind of his guru as his career went along. He would train. He would go down to see Coach Cutcliffe, as his brother Eli did. But, you know, what a special family. And Peyton almost always does the right thing and says the right thing. And we saw it again yesterday.
And you mentioned, you know, possibly him being a commissioner in the future. And I think that everyone already loves Peyton Manning, but especially hearing his speech last night, hearing his passion for the game, hearing his passion, not just when he played, and his appreciation for the past. He started his speech talking about some of the greats and the busts in Canton, Ohio, and how they come alive at night, and how he appreciates the history of the game, but wants to maintain the future of it. And I think when people heard that, they thought, what a better person to run this league than the person that kind of feels like the face of it already.
Well, I don't know if that's going to come in the form of commissioner or general manager or owner or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you think about yesterday, it was sort of the culmination of a journey, and he would never talk about it during his career. But pretty early on, we had an idea that Peyton Manning was going to end up in Canton. We all pretty much knew that he was going to be up there, you know, giving a speech. And it was fun how he gigged the NFL for, you know, cutting down the time that you can speak to 8 minutes. And let me tell you something, Caroline. I was there the year that Bruce Matthews of the Oilers Titans got inducted into the Hall of Fame. We took a private jet, the other radio station.
Fancy.
In this town.
Fancy.
Oh, yeah. We called it the hot jet because at the time there was something that happened that that made it very warm in there. But
I'm not going to ask any further questions.
No, but my point is that we stayed for Bruce's speech, and then Michael Irvin got up on the podium. And remember, we were in Canton, Ohio. We took after Bruce, we left. Michael Irvin was just stepping up there. We left. We went to the private airport. We flew to Nashville. We got our cars. We drove home. And when we got home, no kidding, Michael Irvin was just wrapping up his speech. So that's when they knew that the speeches had to be a little bit shorter.
and setting a time limit instead of doing the awkward Oscars, putting the music on so they'll walk off the stage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get someone going, they could be up there for a long time.
Holy crap.
But
Jerry Jones's was just about as long.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, for the weekend, I wanted to see what Jimmy Johnson said. And you know, one of the a really good article on ESPN.com yesterday or 2 days ago was, what would have happened if Jimmy had stayed in Dallas? Mm-hmm. And almost everybody agrees they would have won more than just the one Super Bowl that Barry Switzer did when he coached the team. Because basically by then, a mannequin could have coached, you know, that team and won a Super Bowl. But afterwards, I mean, it was the epitome of Jerry Jones's hubris, you know, mm-hmm. his pride that he hated the fact that Jimmy was getting all the credit after he had won that second Super Bowl. And Jerry basically said, and I remember this, that he said anybody could coach, a lot of other people could coach this team. And the great story from Switzer was, when Jerry wanted him to come down and be the coach, he kept asking where Jimmy was. And remember, Switzer had coached both Jimmy and Jerry at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And Switzer said, how did you guys F this up? How are you guys not still together? How can you screw up such a good thing? And Jerry admitted later, he said, it was the biggest mistake of his life. You know, he was acting pridefully. And he doesn't know why he did it. I know why he did it, because he hated that Jimmy got the credit.
He wanted the attention.
It was like Shaq and Kobe. You know, it was who was getting credit. And that's a lesson. That's not even a sports lesson. That's a life lesson. Doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as you win. Doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as you're successful. And it killed Jerry to think that Jimmy, you know, was being hailed as this genius. And Jerry was just the guy writing the checks. And that's what broke them up. And neither one of them did very well without the other. But Jimmy rightfully, you know, should have been in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, he and Jerry have made up since then. But it's one of the great fascinating what ifs in sports. What if Jimmy Johnson had stayed in Dallas? The Cowboys might have done what the Patriots have done under Belichick.
And Jimmy Johnson also inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor this year as well. So in Canton and in Dallas as well. But just an incredible speech from Peyton Manning. And just with such a focus on the future. He mentioned the future several times about what this game has gone through so far this year. And building it up for the future. And I think I think myself and everyone else included thought, all right, that's it. Peyton Manning will be in a front office soon enough. If not at the frontest of offices of the NFL commissioner.
Maybe, maybe not. Depends on the deal.
Depends on the deal. Very much so. And I do have to say, those busts, I mean, this could have been like a Hall of Fame of Hall of Fame inductees for hair. You look at Edgerrin James and Troy Polamalu, their busts had an incredible hair. So I just have to give them that as well. Just a wonderful detail in the hair.
How about Drew Pearson with the afro?
Yeah, incredible. The detail that they put into those busts, I mean, I have to give them some serious credit for that.
Nobody was happier than Drew Pearson to get into the Hall of Fame. He was upset before when he didn't, and then when he did, he was shouting it to the skies. That was pretty cool. And to see the relationship between Colts owner Jim Irsay and Edgerrin James was pretty cool. So that's the great thing about that weekend. And you see everybody was there and just, you know, circling back to Peyton, you know, the coaching influences in his life, you know, with Cutcliffe, Tony Dungy, you know, of course, Philip Fulmer, and of course, Gary Kubiak, who he won a Super Bowl with in Denver. Mm-hmm. And the thing that Peyton did that a lot of others didn't, he said, listen, before tonight, I called just about everybody in my life to thank them because I wanted to get that out of the way. And that's what he did. And that was smart. That was, again, typical Peyton. He thought it through and he said, if I had to thank everybody who helped get me here, I'm only going to have 2 minutes to speak.
I'd be up here for days.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that, just being able to focus his speech, you know, less so on his own career and more so on the game of football as a whole, and honoring the people who came before him and maintaining the game for the people who come after him. Like you said, in classic Peyton Manning fashion, just classy, appreciative, gracious, and so well-spoken.
And there was a little bit of a Titans angle there. Steve Hutchinson, who played the last year of his career here, and I believe he still lives in Nashville, had a lot of people to thank, and he made sure to thank the Adams family and the Titans people. And I thought his speech was very classy.
It was. I think overall, just a great weekend, and great to see the 2020 class being able to be inducted in person as well. Don't never want to take that experience from them as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Peyton Manning inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last night. A Tennessee legend, of course. Coming up next, you will get into a little bit of Caroline's. But if you have a thought on Peyton Manning into the Hall of Fame, any Pro Football Hall of Fame thoughts from the weekend, go ahead and get those in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You are listening to Stillman & Company live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. I am Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman today. And we just went over Peyton Manning and being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Sunday night. Just a wonderful speech. And we'll go to your text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And one texter texts in and says, us Vol fans are holding out hope that Peyton comes back as head coach of the Vols or athletic director for the Vols.
He's not going to be the head coach. It's just, he doesn't... I don't think he wants to do that.
I don't think that he wants to either. I think that
he wants to go out and recruit kids and do all that. I just don't see him wanting to do that.
I see him in, like I said, in like a front office role, a leadership role beyond being a head coach.
Yes, I see him as an executive, absolutely.
While he would be an incredible recruiter, I mean, imagine Peyton Manning coming into your house.
Recruiting, God, these guys work 90 hours a week. You know, Peyton, right now, is looking for the right deal. I just don't see him as a coach.
I don't see him as a coach either, but I know that Vol fans will remain hopeful until he has come out and said it is not going to happen.
Well, he's got kids, too, and he seems pretty committed to wanting to be around his kids.
Because he spent so much of his life not getting to be around him when he was a professional
player. If you're a coach, you're just a rumor to your kids.
And with that, we will get into some Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
First and foremost, we have White Sox Twins. I'm going to take the White Sox on the money line. It's -205. Last time I checked, like 10 minutes ago, it was -200. So that line is just getting wider and wider. So it's not great return there. You could take a -1.5, -132 if you're going against the spread. And I think that would be a pretty fair assumption if you wanted to throw some money on that. I mean, the White Sox yesterday in their game, their closing series against the Chicago Cubs. Oh, my gosh. Very first pitch to Tim Anderson. Out of the park for a home run. And I thought that was going to be the longest first and second inning maybe in MLB history, because every single thing the White Sox seemed to hit was going out of the park. It was a fun game. But Lucas Giolito on the mound for the White Sox. 22 starts, 8-8 with a 3.98 ERA. He's been pretty solid for the White Sox, not just this season, but in his entire tenure there in Chicago.
The Twinkies, though, don't underestimate them. They took 2 out of 3 at Houston. So they're showing that despite being decimated by trades, they're not going to just roll over for you. And I'll tell you what, too. This is sort of a tough mental for Chicago. Coming off the sweep of the Cubs and then going to Minnesota. I mean, listen, they're facing a pitcher with an 11 ERA, so they should be okay.
And this is his first career start.
Yeah.
Bo Burrows, he's been a reliever so far for the Twins, his second year in the major leagues. He was claimed off of waivers by the Twins in June, but will make his first career start tonight. So, I mean, you got Lucas Giolito, who's an MLB vet, a starting pitcher vet, going against a first-time guy. I think you're pretty safe on the line, on the money line especially, but even against the spread, especially with the way the White Sox are moving their bats as of late.
All right, I was going to say take the Reds, but they've already started, and they're losing 3-1 in the bottom of the second at Cleveland.
So. You sounded pretty convinced there with the Reds.
Well, the Reds just
only in the third inning.
Well, but the Reds absolutely cleaned the Pirates' clocks. I mean, it was two routes and then 3-2 yesterday. I would say take the under in the Yankees-Kansas City game. Yankees are missing a bunch of starters. Jameson Taillon has been really good. Carlos Hernandez has actually pitched pretty well for the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
The total is 10. The Yankees have not been scoring. They got shut out yesterday. They got five runs on Saturday. And 3 runs on Friday, so they're not exactly, pouring the runs across.
Right. Yankees are 15-6 over the last 21 games, and they've been dealing with some COVID issues. I would say the safest bet for that game is just take the Yankees on the money line, but I think the under as well, without their heavy hitters
Yankees
out there.
Yankees lost another starter, though, to injury. Gleyber Torres, their fine shortstop. It's crazy. They're dropping like flies over there.
Dropping like flies in New York, but also picking them up like flies. Your guy is in New York picking up Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, he's on the COVID list.
He's on the COVID list. Who else did they pick up? Joey Gallo they picked up as well.
They picked up Andrew Heaney, who pitched on Saturday.
Signing him like crazy. Well, that is going to do it for us today on Stillman & Company. We will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock with all of your Titans training camp recaps. Preds Insiders is following us up now. Caroline Fenton, Mark Howard, we will see you tomorrow.